So molecules versus compounds. If you put two or more different elements together, you get a molecule. Molecules are composed of at least two different elements. An example would be, for instance, water. Water is going to be composed of H2, or hydrogens, and also oxygen. Now, water is a compound of the elements hydrogen and oxygen. So that's going to be called a compound. Water contains one element of hydrogen and two elements of oxygen. All compounds are molecules, but not all molecules are compounds. An example would be O2, or the oxygen that's in our air. This is molecular oxygen. This is a molecule, but it's not a compound. And why is that? Well, it doesn't contain dissimilar molecules, or it doesn't contain dissimilar elements. Now, liquid mixtures. A mixture is composed of two or more substances, but each keeps its original properties. There are three types of liquid mixtures. Let's talk about a solution first. A solution is a mixture of two or more substances in which one is dissolved in the other. So seawater, for instance, is a great example of this. Salt is dissolved in water. We have some work going on the beach here. They're cleaning up. I'm here on the weekdays, and they like to clean up, so they're cleaning up some of the palm fronds here. So if you hear any noise, that's what the story is. So with a solution, we have like seawater is a great example of this. Salt is dissolved in water. It's a smaller size molecule, and it tends to stay in solution because it is a smaller size molecule. So if you think of taking some salt water out from the ocean and keep it sitting around, you won't see the salt come out of it. Unless you were to boil it, to boil the water off, then you would start to see some salt. The next liquid mixture I want to talk about is a colloid. Colloids are going to have fine particles floating in a liquid. They usually do not settle out of solution either. They're medium-sized molecules, and a good example would be like bubbles in champagne before the cork is pulled. This would be like a colloid. A suspension now would be where you have larger molecules, and a mixture is usually going to have stuff settle out of it. This is a suspension. It's going to let things settle out of it. So a mixture in which solid particles settle at the bottom, if it's left undisturbed, is going to be a suspension. Why? Because the substance is like suspended in the liquid, and if it's let to hang out for a while, it will come out of solution. These are usually going to be larger molecules. Suspensions, like if you've ever been to a circus and you have the one acrobat and she throws herself into the air, she's suspended there in the air, and then another person comes by and picks her up. So that would be like it's suspended, but what's going to happen to her if she doesn't get picked up? She's going to come out of the air, isn't she? She's going to come out of the solution. So that's a way to look at that. Now, when we look at chemical bonds, we see we're going to be seeing three types of chemical bonds. First of all, molecules are held together by these bonds. So when we look at two elements, they're going to be held together by these bonds. The first bond is going to be called a covalent bond. Covalent. So co means like co-educational, that males and females are together in their educational process. Or cohabitating means that two people are living together. So covalent means that two things are going to be coming together. Two elements are going to be coming together. There are two types of covalent bonds, and these are really, really strong bonds. There's two types. One is called a polar, and the other one's called a nonpolar. So let's describe what polar is. Polar is going to have a negative and a positive charge. So picture that you've taken a vacation and you decided to go to Antarctica. And you go there and you see this beautiful little white bear, and you're really attracted to it. And you pick it up and you hug this beautiful little fur ball of a bear, and you hug it. You just can't believe it. You're holding a polar bear. And that's a very positive experience. But not far from the baby polar bear is mama polar bear, who's not so pleased with you handling her little bear cub. So she's going to come after you. That, of course, is a negative experience. So you see how polar has both a positive and a negative experience. So both can be positive and negative. That's called polar. Nonpolar then would be having no charge. If you're nonpolar, then you're not going to have a positive or a negative experience. You're nonpolar. And we'll describe these more in detail. Now let's talk about the ionic bond. The ionic bond is going to be a weak bond. This is where salt dissolves in water. The ionic bond is weak, is weaker, but not as weak as the weakest bond, which is the hydrogen bond. Now let's describe these different chemical bonds. First of all, the covalent nonpolar bond. If we put two hydrogens together, what will happen is that these two hydrogens will share their one hydrogen. Remember, hydrogen has only one electron in its shell. Remember that the first shell wants two for it to feel complete. So all elements want two in their first shell. They want eight in their next shell. For our purposes anyways, we're going to say that. So with hydrogen having just one shell, it wants two electrons in there. So if one hydrogen can give another hydrogen its electron and they can share it, then that's going to make a very strong bond. But when they share it symmetrically. So we're not going to get any kind of charge on this molecule. Unlike when we do the covalent bond. The covalent bond is going to be a polar bond. And this this polar bond that is a covalent bond is going to be like, for instance, with water. What happens with water is that hydrogen will meet oxygen. So two hydrogens will meet oxygen. Why? Well, oxygen wants, in its heart of hearts, eight electrons in its outer shell, but it only has six. So to get eight, it needs to have two elements give it at least two of its electrons. And two hydrogens work out perfectly. So you put two hydrogens there, it shares its electrons. That's what covalent's all about. And then the oxygen feels complete, and the hydrogens feel complete because it can share the electrons of the oxygen. But this creates a asymmetrical molecule. What it does is it makes the hydrogens go on one side of the molecule. So therefore, the electrons spend more time around the oxygen. This then makes the hydrogen relatively more positive, and the oxygen relatively more negative, because it has more electrons. So that being the case then, the molecule at the hydrogen ends are going to be positive, at the oxygen end they're going to be negative, therefore we call it a polar bond because it has both negative and positive charges. An ionic bond is going to be, the best example is going to be your common table salt. A sodium and a chloride get together making sodium chloride. So what happens is that we have our sodium, which has one electron in its outer shell. It wants eight. Whereas chloride, has seven electrons in its outer shell. It wants eight. So what can happen? Well, what will happen is that sodium will give up its one electron. When it does that, it allows then for chlorine to have eight electrons, which chlorine loves. But sodium also gets something from giving that electron away. What it gets is its next shell is going to be full of eight. So it feels complete. It's sort of like, you know, you give something away and you get something. It's like if you open up the door for somebody, a passenger, let's say it's your car, you open up the passenger's door for that person, the person gets in, and then they reach across and open the door for you. So you gave something to somebody and they give something back to you. Or if you breathe in, you're taking in oxygen. But if you breathe out, you give away your oxygen. But as you give away your oxygen, what happens right after that is you breathe in, so you get oxygen. So it's a give and a take, and it's a win-win situation, at least for sodium and for chloride. So this ionic bond is where they are going to actually give up their electrons. Therefore, it's not as strong as a bond as where you actually have a sharing of your electrons as in a covalent bond. Now let's look at a hydrogen bond. As we said, the hydrogen bond is the weakest bond because it really doesn't bond. There's no sharing of electrons. There's no There's no even giving one electron to another. All it is just going to be attractive forces. The oxygen, as we already described, is more negative, and the hydrogens are more positive. So therefore, the oxygen will tend to be attracted to the hydrogen. And this is not really a sharing of any electrons, so it can break this bond readily, and that's why it's called a hydrogen-weak bond. So we can use Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse as representations of a hydrogen bond. A hydrogen bond is not two hydrogens bonded together. When hydrogen atoms bond together, this is called a what kind of bond? Because they share their electrons. Exactly. It's called a covalent bond, specifically a nonpolar. A hydrogen bond example would be two hydrogen molecules together? No. A hydrogen bond example would be two water molecules together. This would represent having Minnie and Mickey together. You can see that Minnie's mouth will be attracted to Mickey's ear because of the positive and negative forces. You see that just keeps going on. And what happens is that the water molecules just start to basically just float around each other. They start to move back and forth. That's why water has its qualities. You can put it in a glass and it takes the shape of the glass. Or you pour it into a ice cube tray and it'll take the form of the ice cube tray. So that's the reason that that's the reason water is so good at being a solvent and all the other things that it is because of the fact of these hydrogen bonds.